Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, we have a great guest. Her name is Tina Ferguson, and she does a lot of empowering women and transforming lives. So, Tina, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nancy. So glad to be here with you.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, Tina, let's tell the listeners a little bit about who Tina is, how you started what you're doing, and why it seems to be working so well.
Well, you know, the thing about, you know, what I do now, you know, compared to what I've done in the past is I really work as an intuitive and medium, helping people get in touch with who they are at their core. And I really work primarily to guide people to the truth within. Different than you know, the way that I used to work with people when I was a consultant and you know, helping people navigate out in the world. So instead of working externally to help them figure things out and you know, figure out what to do in the world, we really go inside and help them figure out what drives them, what's working for them, and to shift inside so that everything externally shifts.
Don't you think, Tina, it's real important that people know kind of what's inside of them? Because most of the work that people really have to do to empower themselves or re-empower themselves is truly an inside job.
Well, you know, it's funny, Nancy. I always thought everyone was like I am, and having this very rich inner world was so natural to me. I've had a very strong spiritual connection since I was little, and I just thought everyone did. You know, everyone you know wondered about how everything you know connects and I believe it's incredibly important, but I really didn't realize that a lot of people don't really, you know, they really don't go into that inner space. They don't, you know, talk about how they're feeling inside. They don't get in touch with what's true for them. I really had no idea that a large part of the world has more of an external orientation, but I do believe it's very, very important.
It is very important. A lot of times people will talk about how their intuition doesn't work. And the truth of the matter is if you just get out of your way with logic, your intuition is like right there. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, one of the reasons why I can be such a helpful guide is because I have so much experience with knowing how to get in my own way. So I can say, oh, well, I know a lot of ways to not do something.
A lot of people can do that. Now, and you've been through many, many things in your life, Tina, and it's funny because when I do a lot of my counseling, people, you know, they'll say to me, well, what makes you think that you're so great with what you have to tell people? Or what makes you think you're so great that it works? Well, I've been doing it for a long time, but that's not the point. The point is that a lot of times if people go through experiences, they get very enlightened about that experience because it's theirs and they can relate to it. And when other people start talking about their experience, which is kind of on the same line but maybe not exact, sometimes it's pretty easy to relate to that. So when you're talking with your clients, do you find that to be true?
I would say so. And one of the things that I know without a doubt is that only each person can know what is true for themselves. You know, there we can work as guides to reflect back what we may see and ask questions that will help someone else, you know, see something within themselves. But for me, I feel like, you know, one of the gifts that I bring is that I have an intense level of awareness. And I'm willing to take a look at things, and I'm willing to really go to the depths to see and feel and experience whatever my experience is. And you know, by sharing those experiences, somehow what people tell me is that they find a lot of comfort because they recognize these signposts that you know, most all of us, I believe, carry within us.
Your AKA is the Queen of Dreams. Would you like to explain that to listeners?
Well, you know, it's funny because several years ago when I was, you know, going through an intense period of introspection and really, asking some really tough questions about, what is it that I really want? Why am I really here? You know, I really believe that, each person is here for a reason. And literally this idea of Queen of Dreams, dropped into my consciousness. And I saw this, almost like a cartoon character. And because I really didn't have my own answers at the time, I followed this, inner guide. And she, really showed me so many things about, even a deeper level of, going inside and opening up to dreams and opening up to, all the energies, aspects and counter aspects within us. And so, so this part of me, this Queen of Dreams that guided me, ended up, becoming, part of, who I identify as a guide. So Queen of Dreams is a spiritual teacher, is a guide, and brings a whole lot of fun and joy to this inner journey.
Which all is very, very exciting. Now, you mostly work with women. Do you work with men too, or just mostly women?
It's thank you for asking that. It's funny because my background and how I made my claim to fame in the business world is what was as a marketing consultant, and I worked predominantly only with men. In fact, part of my journey was balancing all that masculine energy. I had so much masculine energy. And so then I said, I really feel drawn to work with women. So I started saying, okay, I'm going to be all about women. If anyone goes to my website, they're going to see that it's very girly. It's very pink, very purple, just very sparkly. And yet I work still to this day with about 50% men and 50% women without even trying it. It just always works out that way. A lot of couples.
But that's good, because a lot of couples have a very hard time, one, talking with each other, and two, when they do, understanding how each other happens to feel. And if they're a couple, they need to do the talking, and they need to do the searching to find out what makes the other one happy, what makes them happy, how they can relate it to each other, how they can, share it with each other. So that's pretty important, Tina, that, working with couples. Because a lot of times, the women will come looking for help, and the men go, oh, that's just silly. And then every now and then a man will actually have enough guts to go, I don't know it all, and maybe I should have a little bit of help, so that's pretty good. Now, you do talks, and when you do, presentations and stuff, you talk about different things, and one of them that caught my eye is a victim to victor, and not just for, men in business, but victim in general. A lot of women fall prey to that victim syndrome that they have. Do you help women get out of that victim to victor syndrome?
Yes. One of the things that I'm kind of giggling here, because I remember when I went through this, the thought of I really was looking at my own behavior. Just so your listeners will know when I'm referencing. I had, really lived this very charmed life, and pretty much anything I put my mind to, worked, and it worked beautifully. My spiritual team has, done a great job guiding me to whatever I needed in my life. And I had an experience back in 2006 where I basically experienced this huge, we'll call it a failing. Okay. That's what I looked at it as. And I felt so abandoned, and so people that I had helped, with their careers, helped them get to the pinnacle of their career. I had asked for their help, and then they didn't show up, and I was really in this a bottomless pit of the ditch that I call it the ditch, just being in the ditch. And I really was acting like such a victim. and when I think back on it, I would have, said to anyone, oh, I'm just a can-do person. I just make things you know, I just dream up something and it just always happens and it works. And I had never really had the experience of this whole, you know, bottoming out and nothing working. And I went straight into this whole, this very isolated place of feeling like, I was abandoned not only by, you know, the world and my friends and my colleagues, but also abandoned by my spiritual team. You know, just lots and lots of intense, victim feelings. And I remember the day that I woke up and thought, you know, what have I become? I don't even know who this person is anymore. I was so deep in the ditch and couldn't really think straight, and it was kind of a mess. And I was, you know, what ended up happening is I ended up being guided to David Hawkins' work. For people who may know the book, it's called Power Versus Force. And at the time, I really did not understand it at all. I was comforted by his biography in the front of the book, but I really didn't know why I was being guided to that information. But what happened over the next few years is, as I started working with clients and I started noticing, oh wow, they're in this victim orientation where they think everything's against them. They're thinking, you know, that they can't get out of this, and it's all or nothing. And just, I recognize the black and white, all or nothing type of thinking that I had gone through. And the answer, surprisingly, was very, very simple. And it was, to shift from an emotional state of feeling victimized and powerless to a higher frequency of love. And the way that that it was shared to me by spirit, by my team, is simply when you feel that that something's against you and you're feeling victimized and you're feeling like everything's against you, to simply hold a space for love. So the simplest way I know is to think of something you love. So you know, like think of a pet. Or think of a place that gives you immense joy and you feel happy. And as soon as you connect to that other frequency, then look again at the situation. So that's like a little cliff note version of how to shift from that victim's perspective into a place of power and also love.
How important is it, Tina, that people have that love that they seem to be lacking, you know, or it's hidden pretty deep in today's world where people really don't treat other people very well, let alone treat themselves well? So how important is it for people to really, you know, love who they are, love who that inside person is so that they can put it on the outside?
You know, my experience has been that it's the ultimate, that it's the most important thing. I remember a couple of years ago, I had finished my book, the book that was actually just released. So 2008, I'd written it in a month and it was completely done and edited and it was ready to go. And I went to Book Expo, America, which is the big book trade show. And I remember, meeting an author and connecting to this author, you know, someone I adored and loved and have always loved her books. And in that moment, I could just feel that I was not ready to receive the amount of love that would come back to me through my book. And I mentioned this story because my experience has shown me that, you know, the whole point of even being here is just to love ourselves and to love each other. And I know that that's, you know, written in the Bible and, you know, many other, traditions, you know, echo that. And at the same time, I just remember standing there just in tears, with the instant recognition that nothing else matters. If we can, like, for me, loving other people when they're yelling and they're in their worst moments, that's very easy for me just because of who I am and my constitution and how God made me. but to allow myself and to give that same gift to myself, that was where I really had some work to do. And I was standing there, and I had burst into tears because I had, you know, just basically dropped into this ocean of love that people have for this woman. And I realized in that moment, wow, you know what? None of the stuff that I'm, you know, doing, that I'm pursuing, that I'm, you know, creating, none of this stuff matters if I can't receive the love that I am. And so to me, I just come back to it's the most important thing. It's the most important thing we come to experience and to learn here.
I agree with that. People have a very hard time forgiving themselves, though. Is there anything that you can tell the listeners on how they can work on forgiving themselves so they can allow that love to really, you know, take hold? Because I think a lot of people can't forgive themselves, so they don't understand that there's still love there.
Well, what comes to me are a couple of things. You know, one is I was given this beautiful meditation that essentially works energetically to reset any energy that we have that is not love between ourselves, you know, so, you know, just personally, and then also with another person. And I have a download that's free, and we have a website, and it's called Meditations, Meditations. So like we, but with a M, meditations.com. And if you go there under the love button, I have this forgiveness meditation that is truly by far the most powerful tool that I've received in all the teachings. And it is a beautiful tool. It's very easy to work with, and that can reset energy. Another thing that comes to my mind is to have a higher viewpoint of how the world works, and to understand that, you know, when you're acting horribly, let's say, you know, let's just call a spade a spade. You know, my I have a little boy who's 9, and he asked me the other day, just spontaneously, I don't know why he asked this, he said, "Mom, have you ever hit anyone?" And, you know, I was, you know, pulled back into my childhood. and I was like, yes. And I had to really, you know, be truthful in that moment about, you know, and I had to really, you know, revisit, you know, the past with my brother. And I was like, oh, I was really, really mean to him. And I hit him a lot. And I didn't feel bad in that moment sharing that with him, but I could feel there was this stuff underneath the surface. I was like, whoa, there's a reservoir of energy under there. And I just remember just being so hard on my brother. And so, you know, for me as a child, you know, knowing that was so incorrect, that was wrong. I knew it was wrong in the moment I was hitting him, you know, even if I was, you know, 10 years old and I'm, you know, hitting him and everything. And so, you know, we don't know what the bigger picture is. We don't know, you know, what his soul needed to learn from that. We don't know what my soul needed to learn from that. And if we only look at it from a black and white, you know, there's this pattern of looking at things in black and white that always seems to get us in trouble. You know, when we go into this place of, well, that was wrong and you should have known better and you were 10 years old and that's old enough to know. And when we judge ourselves so harshly and hold ourselves so accountable, even beyond our, you know, the years that we were at the time, if that's the case, then, you know, we basically dump the divine wisdom that's available in everything. You know, I was talking, so my son brought it up, I had been thinking I needed to connect with my brother, so we ended up talking, and I told him, I said, you know, Chance asked me about this, and I was telling him, oh, I was so mean to you, I was so mean, I'm such a mean person, because, you know, that's what we do, right? We're so willing to be the bad person, or we're so willing to be so harsh with ourselves. And I was saying, oh, I was just awful. And I remembered this one thing I did to him that I thought was just terrible. It was like the worst thing ever. And he just laughed and he said, I don't even remember any of that. So to me, it's like, you know, keep in mind that, you know, there may be something to resolve with someone, and you could resolve it with a forgiveness meditation, reset the energy. There may be something to resolve within yourself about, you know, the length and the depth that you could go to be so mean. You know, for me, that was what I was grappling with, was, gosh, you know, how can I be that mean and that insensitive? And yet what I see, you know, at this higher level is, you know, the greater we can love, the greater we can go into these depths and the dark places. You know, the greater that we can give, the greater we can be so selfish. I mean, it's literally, you know, this beautiful divine balance. And so is it, to me, it's more like, you know, accept yourself and resolve these things and be gentle with yourself and know that there is a divine plan at a higher level, and you may figure out what it is and you may not.
It's really interesting because a lot of times people, you know, that I talk with, they'll go, you know, I can't get beyond some of the things that's gone on in my past, and I, you know, I keep redoing the same scenarios over and over, maybe with different people, but it's the same scenario. So if you're talking with somebody, Tina, and they would say that to you, how would you tell them to get beyond that? Because what I have experienced is that most of the people who hold on to a lot of past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt continue to go in that same pattern most of their life unless they change it.
I see the same thing, and what I because I work as a catalyst, you know, my energy and my soul wisdom comes in to move people, and I'm a visionary. I've got a pretty strong ability to help people see and help them navigate. And what I do is I really ask them if they're ready for something new. Would they? The person who comes to my mind is, I worked with this gentleman who was living out the same 10-year cycle. He was 50 years old. And every 10 years, he was just living the same life over and over again. And, it was with the exception of having a new child every 10 years, it was identical. Marriage would burn down, business would burn down, and he would start all over again. And I met him at the end of the third cycle. And I just asked him, I said, are you ready for something new? Would you like to experience something new? And what I've seen is when people can shift their focus away from the past, away from what's bothering them, away from all the stuff that they're angry about, irritated about, and I don't mean that in a way of, okay, we're just going to sweep that under the rug. Don't do that. That won't get you what you want either. However, when I ask people, well, what would you like to experience, and they can shift off of the old story just for a moment to create a new one, to create a new focal point, that seems to give them space to consider something new. You know, sometimes that consideration might take a week. Sometimes I've seen it take 2 or 3 years for people to consider something new, to believe that there could possibly be a new reality for them. But that's what I do is introduce a new focus. And have them, I call it percolate, you know, percolate on it. You know, would you like something new? Because they already know what they're going to get if they keep acting out the old story.
Yes. And they continue to act out the old story sometimes, you know, which is unfortunate because then they tend to get lost in that old story, and they worry about it, and they make it a true reality time and time and time again. How important is it, Tina, do you think, to talk to children about what they feel, how they feel, and let them tell you about themselves? How important is that?
Oh, wow. I believe it's extremely important, because when children can put words or vocabulary to what cannot be seen, somehow it allows them to be okay with what's invisible, to acknowledge their feelings, to allow themselves to have their own feelings. You know, a lot of times, particularly with kids, from what I've seen, especially in our own house, they don't know where they begin and where someone else ends. And so I believe that's very important, to give their feelings space. The one thing I would add to that, though, is a feeling is a feeling. Okay, so let's say that a child is hurt or their feelings are hurt. Saying, I feel hurt right now, or I feel sad right now, that's one thing. Making up a whole story about what that hurt means, that's another thing. And so in our house, we are very, very clear about what a feeling is and what a story is. And we practice that, every day. Basically just sharing our feelings. Three empaths in a house is it could be a recipe for a big mess, but we give each other space and acknowledge and allow each person to have their feelings, no matter what it is.
I think it's important that people acknowledge their feelings, again, no matter what it is, just, to make sure that people understand where they're coming from. It doesn't happen all the time, but it would be good if people could do that and actually listen when somebody is telling you what their feelings are. Because people have a tendency to say, okay, tell me what you think. And then they don't hear anything, and that person could talk and talk and they don't hear anything. So if that goes on in families, which probably goes on a lot, how would you, if you were talking with a family, how would you help them to understand that they have to pay attention to who is ever doing the speaking?
Well, with I'm just thinking about working with couples, and then they go off and also work with their kiddos. What we've done is to really have people focus on what's being said instead of thinking about what they're going to say in response, but to really be present, be in the body. Usually give them a couple of tools to, feel their feet on the floor and really come back into their body. And actually also to let them start to listen to each other in a neutral zone. So, if let's say a child is upset or a parent is upset, for them to go off, have some space, breathe, be calm. And then come together as a group and then listen to each other without all of that emotional energy in the air so that they can be more clear-headed. It's interesting. Whichever parent is the most dominant one, they're the ones who tend to want to rush in and to, kind of get to the end. And, just get to the point and move things along. And what they can do, another technique, is they can hold something so that when one person gets done talking, then give that thing to someone else. So it could be a wooden spoon. It could be a, teddy bear. It doesn't matter. But then that can be a physical acknowledgement of, okay, it's time for you to speak now.
And that's good because, again, some people start to talk and everybody else wants to kind of butt in and not listen. So handing them something, that's a very good idea, Tina. Now, you've got a book, a couple books, actually, So let's give out your website and give out the site again where they can get the free, you know, the free download stuff. And then I have some more questions to ask you.
Okay, my my regular site is tinaferguson.com, so TinaFerguson.com. And then the site that has a couple of meditations on it is called Meditations. We made this so that you could see it on the Wii when you're out there surfing with your family. And so it's just Meditations, so Meditations.com.
Now do it one more time so everybody gets it.
Okay, it's Meditations, meditations.com. So it's like meditations, but it's meditations. And if you play Wii like we do, then you know that the little characters are called Mii's, M-I-I. So it was kind of a clever thing, not so great when you're trying to say it over and over again on the radio.
Tina, throughout what you have gone through, can you maybe explain what has been the hardest time of your life that you really have had to overcome something? Because a lot of people go, oh, she's probably living this dream life and she's got all this money and blah, blah, blah. But it didn't start like that. So can you explain to the people probably the hardest thing that you went through to help put you to where you are now?
Well, you know what the paradox is here is I started out with a ton of money, and I rose very quickly to great heights in the industry that I was in, and I was making so much money it wasn't even funny. I mean, more money than I ever thought. I don't even know that I ever dreamed of making that much money, and I just remember being, you know. I basically had the little girl dream. I had my husband, I had a child, I had the house, I had the car, and then I had this money, which I don't even know that that was, you know, part of my dream. It was certainly, you know, tied to my sense of what security meant. And yet I felt so unhappy. it's the typical what everyone tells you, you know, if you have all this money and you're not happy, then you don't really have anything. And to me, that was a pretty dark night of feeling like, well, you know, I already have, you know, this great family and I have all this, you know, what is this? What is this emptiness and this void? And so I believe just in hindsight, of course, I believe what the reason why this crisis came up was to, you know, help me figure out what the answer was, because I certainly wasn't taking any steps toward figuring it out. The darkest night was, you know, we did this, this business venture. It was a total bomb. I mean, like nothing happened. It was like slamming doors everywhere I turned. And I felt like I was like this 5-year-old kid who had made the biggest mess in the world and I didn't know how to clean it up. And that was so not my thinking. I've always been the type of person who could figure anything out. That's why I was able to be so successful, was, you know, everyone came to me, oh, help us figure out our stuff. And so, just dealing with the ramifications of my actions and seeing the mess that I was in and not knowing how to overcome it, even though there was a glimmer within me that said I'm bigger than this moment, the black and white thinking took over. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to just check out of this world and start over. And that dark night of the soul was what reconnected me to spirit again. I literally was sitting there. I had decided, okay, I'm just going to, you know, leave the planet. I'm going to exit stage right. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but I had a huge insurance policy and I was like, yeah, that's going to be the answer because that'll take care of all this financial mess. And then that's when these beautiful guides showed up and started guiding me back to the land of the living and beyond, back to who I am, back to what's important, back to the light, if you want to call it that. Yeah, it was a numbing time, but I'm grateful.
When you're talking with people, Tina, and they want to start to tell you their stories, which are important because everybody has a story. It's how they get to where they are. If they start to dwell too much in the pity party box syndrome, is what I call it, is there a way that you can help bring them out of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the things people who have worked with me know that I'm a very safe place. You know, when they come to the table, whoever they are in this moment, if they're angry, if they want to yell, scream, whatever, that's okay. Because whatever that emotion is in the moment is okay. And it's the truth. It's truly the energy of the moment, and that's what it is, and that's okay. However, the story, what we do is, what I share with them is that when I'm working, whatever is put in front of me will be energized. Okay. So we can energize the story or we can energize the truth. Okay. And so we start out with this very, structured way of looking at what's going on. We don't ignore the emotional because the emotional is the energy that's coming out of them, that's wanting attention, that needs to be released, that wants to move to, higher ground if you want to look at it that way. However, when I work with someone and point out the energies, and I'll say, okay, let's say they're getting into their story like you're asking. And they're talking about their story, and it's their story and their story. I'll let it go on for maybe 2 or 3 minutes just so they can get it out. They can feel that they've been heard, that someone has heard them, about what this is. And then I'll say, do you notice how you feel? And bring their awareness back into who they are so that they can feel, oh, okay, this is the feeling of my story. Now, if they're emotional, the story rarely has any energy. The energy doesn't reside inside the story. It generally resides inside of some other plane that the person has activated. So then, I may ask a question about what about that bothers you, or what about that, what brings that to mind? And then that's where you'll get the release of energy. And so again, directing them back inside and saying, okay, well, how does that feel? Do you feel that? Do you notice where that is? And then also having them identify inside their body where they're feeling something. And so from that perspective, then usually that takes about 30 minutes. But then after that, for every other time that we may talk, they'll know if I say, okay, we're getting into the story, let's move back over here, then they already have a navigation system. Does that make sense?
But it does, and I think a lot of people, Tina, are looking for somebody to point that navigation system out to them. They know that it's there, but I think they lose faith in themselves, number one, or what they tend to believe, or they just want to stay feeling sorry for themselves, hoping that somebody will feel sorry for them too and then give them all the answers. And I'm a very firm believer that the answers already lie within you. It's just bringing them out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, the other thing, too, is I've worked with people who were really, really tied to their story, and they loved their story, and their story was really comfortable. And, I've said, when you're ready to let go of your story, come back and work with me. But as long as you're going to, stay in the story and be really tied to it and committed to it, it really is a commitment. It takes a lot of energy to stay committed to a story. And I've just said, we could, until we're ready to create a new story and create a new experience, then, if the commitment is over here, then, there's nothing we can do right now. And it hasn't happened a lot, but you know, I'm comfortable sharing that because until someone makes a true decision, there's just no shifting. I mean, they're just creating the same reality over and over again.
People have a tendency to want to stay in that reality, I think, because they believe that they know what it is and it feels comfortable, even though it's a very uncomfortable situation. But they'll choose that rather than try to do something about it until somebody really points out, you know, you can sit there all day long and you can stay there and it's going to just keep going on and on and on. Or you can, as you say, pick yourself up out of that ditch and look for a good reason to pick yourself out of that ditch. And I think people have a really tough time taking that responsibility in order to do that. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, what I found, I would say that's definitely true. There are some people that they understand intellectually, you know, definitely what we're talking about here. And they're saying, well, I just don't want to. I want to, you know, stay living my own story. And at the same time, what I noticed in my own journey and then working with clients as well is I noticed that sometimes I just would feel, I'm going to say kind of lost inside. And what I mean by that is I would think, that I was farther ahead than I was. I would think that I knew more than I did. I would think that, basically, you know, the operative word here is think. You know, I'm thinking I know this, and I'm thinking I understand that. And the truth was I experiencing it? You know, was I living it? You know, was the truth that I am living this wisdom or this understanding? And it wasn't until I got to that place in my journey that I began to really have a very, very deep compassion for people, to really understand that, you know, sometimes they really, really think they're in one place when they're not. And that opened up space to ask different questions, to really get into those granular moments with them to help them discern, okay, where are you really? You know, have you moved along? Are you still over here, you know, 10 hours a day still dwelling on this thing that's happened? And I tend to attract very high functioning people. You know, people who are the superstars in the world. You know, I call them the one percenters. And they're the people who can, you know, they don't stay in bed when they want to. They don't, you know, break down when they feel like it. They keep going. They're the soldiers. They can overcome themselves so easily. And at the same time, those same skills that lead them to success in the world and help them, you know, become, you know, these superstars, they're the same skills that preclude them and really hold them back on the inner planes. Because on the inner planes, it's just you and you. It's just the truth and love and whatever is. And a lot of times, you know, what helps people soldier on is, you know, telling themselves something or telling themselves a story or, you know, setting some external something that pushes them beyond what they think they can do. And in the inner planes, you know, that gap is not available. And so, you know, answering your question, I just feel like, you know, definitely there are people that are, you know, saying, oh yeah, I'm doing this. And, you know, obviously the question is, oh really? Well, let's take a look at your experience. Because that really is where you know, that's the net of it is okay, your inside is going to match your outside. But I can truly have so much compassion for people who get so frustrated and say, but I am doing it and I have done this and I have forgiven everyone and it's still, I don't feel right. You know, I feel like there is that other side of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just finished what you call Dream Camp Fall 2010. Explain what that is, and are you going to do another one?
You know, Dream Camp is a short course. It's a 6-week course that helps people get back in touch with their dreamer. You know, when we're talking about the energies inside of each of us, we all have, you know, we are so multifaceted, and Dream Camp helps people get back in touch with their child and the dreamer and the one who doesn't believe that there are limitations and the one that, you know, has, you know, these off the wall ideas of what they might want to do or create in the world. I'm not sure about doing one in 2011. I'm finishing another program that's called Ultimate Wellbeing. And that's all about people coming into true balance with every plane. So, you know, the energetic, the physical, the spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and the ancestral. And, you know, really, how do they all work together and how can someone be fully and wholly complete and understanding how every part of them communicates with the person. And so I don't know that I'm going to be doing Dream Camp in 2011 because my sense is that I don't even know that I'm going to do another retreat in 2011. And this is the thing, Nancy, and I'm sensing that you'll get this. Because of the work you do, is for me, I have to go so much on my sensing of what feels right and what I feel coming. And 2011 feels like an extremely quiet year to me. You know, when I reach into it, I get a sense maybe October landscape that there might be a retreat. But right now, my commitment is to writing my next book and, you know, doing interviews such as this and working with clients.
Okay, good. What is the title of your next book?
Well, it is, it's kind of up in the air, but I keep coming back to Create Your Life. And in the create, if you think of, you know, create is spelled C-R-E-A-T-E, and right in the middle of it is eat. so that just keeps coming back to me. But this book will be very much about, you know, how you create your life. It will have the victim to victor information of how to shift frequency. And really, it will be more hands-on about, you know, how do you have a very rich inner life and a very rich outer life as well.
A lot of people want to know about that rich outer life.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, especially with the way that the economy is going. So, do you have any quickie suggestions for people to help them get through this trying time with their fears as far as the economy and money goes?
You know, the greatest thing, because I do quite a bit of speaking at like career outreaches, and you know, I get to hear the stories of people who, you know, they've been looking for a job for a very long time and that sort of thing. So I feel like I do have the pulse of what's going on in the world. And what I really want people to remember, and you know, this is what you can, you know, I'll give you a practical tip as well. But I want you to remember you're not alone, that it's not you against the world, and it's that black and white type of thinking that I certainly, you know, ran into when it feels like things are bogging down and things are, you know, imploding and all of that. Just remember you're not alone and remember to ask for help, okay? And when I say ask for help, I mean ask for divine support. Ask for what you want or what you need. You know, so many of us have so many ideas about how things have to happen. And you know, when I work with clients, I make jokes about, you know, whatever hurdle you put up, I'm just going to take it down. So it's however, you know, however many hurdles you want to throw up about why you can't have what you want, I'm happy to take them all down. But you know, when people are saying, well, I can't apply for this because they want a college degree. You know, I just talked to a friend And he just got a very high-paying sales job where he had to, one of the prerequisites was that he needed to have a degree. And he got hired without a degree. So you know, when we have all these barricades in front of us and all these self-imposed hurdles that we throw up about, what can happen or what can't happen, I just really encourage people to, one, ask, write down exactly what you would like. This friend had written down he wanted a certain salary, he wanted a car allowance, he wanted to be, I think, close to his home. He had a whole list of things that he wanted. And once you determine, what you'd like in your job or what you'd like in more clients or what you would like in whatever you want in your world, then be open to that showing up in any way possible. Any way possible. And for you to know what you really think, I want you to look at that list that you've just written down and then notice what comes to your mind, okay? So you might go, oh, but I don't have a degree, or, oh, but, I don't have connections, or, oh, but, and all your oh buts, okay, just you're going to need to make peace with those and let them go and know that there's a higher plan for you, okay? There's always a higher plan available and a higher path available if you are willing to let go of all the stuff that keeps you from getting on it. And so that's what I would say. Ask for help and then be open to however that's going to show up. I have so many stories that, I can't share here, but so many stories of just divine divine intervention. This friend I'm talking about, the phone call did not come straight to him. The phone call came from someone who had called a headhunter, who had called someone else, who said, oh, I just got a job, but call this person instead, and that's how he got his job. And so stay open and be very, very clear about what you're asking for, and take action. Stay in action. That's one of the biggest things I see these days, is people have just given up.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Now, give out your website one more time, and then you also do blog, and you have a newsletter. So tell us just a little bit about that. We have about 3 minutes left.
Okay, tinaferguson.com, TinaFergusoN.com. And my blog is there. I send out a newsletter a couple of times a month, usually with, a story, some miracle story of how something happened to someone else. So quite inspirational. And my blog is updated. Not always daily, but I'm pretty good about updating my blog pretty regularly, and you'll find all kinds of stuff on there, and it's usually whatever's going on in my world. Do a lot of, animal communication, and I believe that everything's alive and divine, and so there's no telling what might be out there.
Which is good. It keeps people guessing. give out the me one again so they can get the downloads.
Okay, forgiveness meditation is mepatience.com. So mepatience.com. And I have over 3 years of radio shows, internet radio shows, out on my blog as well. And if you connect over there, a lot of the beginning ones were all teachings. So everything I've learned from Spirit, I've passed on, and those are all free too.
Which is real important. We have about 1 minute left, Tina. So in that 1 minute, you sound like you've come a long way from where, some of the things that you've gone through. And again, I think it's real important that people understand that it's not that you think you're this know-it-all, can do it all, but you actually have walked the talk that you decided to do. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. And it's, if I could spare you from having to go through everything I did, by all means, it would be worth it. And at the same time, if you walk the same journey and the same path, I'm sure you would share what you learned as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I it's huge to live it, right?
Yes, it is. But it does keep your senses going, and it keeps you where you need to be, in my opinion.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Tina, it's been great talking with you and having you on this show. Just kind of, you know, hang in there, let people know what you're doing, get some more of those books out because they sound pretty interesting, and just keep up that good work.
Thanks, Nancy. I sure appreciate you, and thanks, everyone, for having me here. Appreciate it.
And you take care. Have a great Thanksgiving, okay?
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye now. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. I hope you all have a very good, happy Turkey Day. Don't overeat, but have a good time. Think about what we've talked about. May God bless all of you, and have a great week. Take care. Bye now.